I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
In 2021, AEW selected their own pillars. These were billed as the foundation of the company and of the future. This was spearheaded by an MJF promo on Dynamite. And essentially the take was, it was going to be similar to 1990s All Japan Pro Wrestling Four Pillars. Akira Tawe, Kenta Kobashi, Mitsuharu Misawa, Toshiaki Kawada. They were essentially AEW's homegrown talent that would pave the way for the future of AEW. It was MJF, Jack Perry, Darby Allin, and Sammy Guevara. During 2021, which was the first year of our Eat Sleep Elite podcast, we had decided that we would do something similar, and we wanted to create our own four pillars, but there would be some differences. For starters, we could not select any of the four that AEW had chosen, and we could also not select Britt Baker because, well, the gimmick being ran at the time, I believe it was by CM Punk or The Butcher, was that she was the real fifth pillar. So we wanted to change it up. We were selecting our pillars. It really came naturally. This was just a couple conversations, and it just ended up forming. We wanted to choose people that we believed would eventually hit that next level and be the future stars based on where they're currently at. I think the easiest way I could put it is we essentially were choosing ours as the four pillars of the future, right? So a lot of time has passed since we've chosen our original four pillars. And today, we will be announcing and reworking our pillars. So it's really our second edition, and it's going to be our 2025 pillars going forward. There are new four pillars of the future in AEW. Now, there's a couple ways you can look at it. You could say, maybe we just wanted to do it for 4 years. You could say, maybe we chose this year because this is the AEW's got the new big deal, Duke. They have the brand new big contract that they're AEW is hitting a new stage.
I think with Swerve Strickland, Adam Page, Jay White, various others, Brian Danielson maybe to an extent, but obviously he's retired now. Well, retired, quote unquote, you know what I mean? And various others who you could see kind of took a leap in the last couple of years of television. I think it was like they were hitting a stride that they had to in order to secure that deal. You know what I mean? And not that it wasn't in any, not that it was in question, but I feel like there was like almost a maturing that happened of AEW television in that time. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
And then now we've hit a point now where we've got it. The future is secured. Now we have to secure, now we've secured the future. Now we have to, what are we going to do with it? We have to run with it. We have to make something out of it. And so it feels very much like in 2021 when we'd re-signed that short deal, right? And they were going to get an extension through to this year, right? And so people were like, okay, we got a couple more years. We need to do something with it now. I think this is the same as it was then in that way. Maybe even more intense than it was then in that way.
It feels like a new start for AEW. And it's like, you know what? The future's changed now. The future's different than it was 4 years ago when we selected our pillars.
Another way to put it is some of the people that we selected then maybe haven't lived up to what we thought that they could have, or potentially, you know, not to put anybody down. That's not what this is about. But to say like that maybe we – it's worth analyzing again. There's not just four pillars that are, these are the four guys that no matter what, like I've seen enough already. These are the guys. Like, no, this is a constantly changing thing.
Yep. And no matter what, they will always be our first four pillars. So real quick, I did want to talk about our 2021 four pillars that we selected. And it was Dante Martin, Daniel Garcia, Ricky Starks, and Wheeler Yuta with our one that just almost made the cut, and we've mentioned this multiple times before, was Lee Moriarty. So Lee Moriarty was kind of our fifth pillar in the Britt Baker aspect of
– he was always my fifth pillar, yeah. No matter what.
So I guess that being said, let's talk a little bit about some of their success that they've had in the time, and let's start this off with Daniel Garcia. In these past 4 years, he's now become an AEW – and he is the current AEW TNT champion. We've seen him hold the ROH Peer Championship. He's gone on to win the Battle of Los Angeles in PWG. He's won the PWG World Championship. ESPN ranked him as number 29 of the 30 best pro wrestlers under 30 in 2023. And Pro Wrestling Illustrated ranked him number 69 as their top 500 singles wrestlers of 2023.
I bet he popped when he got that number.
He must have. I think out of all of our pillars, Daniel Garcia has proven to us the most of, yeah, he was truly a foundation of the future. And everything we loved about Daniel Garcia, I think he expanded upon. He went to so many different fucking characters in this time. So many different teams. And every single time, every story, he made it work in the end. And he even beat Bryan Danielson during that time period. So just, yeah.
He became the Dragon Tamer. He was one of the first young guys to beat Bryan that I can remember. That was like not like some BS. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's probably some BS. I think it's JS shenanigans. But you know what? I don't even care. No, I think he beat him clean. I don't even care. Danny's Danny. And Danny, to me, is the best young wrestler that still hasn't really, I think, fully hit his stride. I think, like, kind of similarly to how, like, MJF, when he finally won the world title, we finally saw, like, the full what MJF could be. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be similar with Danny. I think the TNT is going to allow him to do that. I think when he wins the big one, it's going to change the face of pro wrestling. And I think that's not an understatement, because I think MJF being world champion did, whether people want to admit it or not. And I think Danny's going to do a similar thing. So, you know, and
to that point, he's the only one out of all four of these that has had the big contract negotiation really go public and have NXT publicly wanting him. So AEW did retain him, which obviously, considering he was one of our first four pillars of the future,
means I'm more got very, broke off.
Very glad he was able to retain. And
Moneybags Khan,
Daniel Garcia has been a big success. And let's jump straight into, I think, the person I've been most disappointed by, and maybe that's just because this year, but that's Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks was rated as our four pillar. I think it's safe to say, because when we saw him on the mic, it was like, oh shit. He talks like he's the top guy in the fucking
company. So he established kind of a precedent that's going to play into this list that we're going to do today as well, because he was way older than the rest of the pillars on this list when we made the list.
Yes.
Ricky was already
he was 31 when we picked him, I believe.
Yeah, 31 maybe even. Either way, he was about to turn 31, I think. Anyway, the point is, he was way older than the rest of the pillars. But he was also, we felt that he was at a stage in his career that was similar, despite the fact that he was older and had been at it for a lot longer. And we, I think, both envisioned him winning the world title. I think we almost got there, too.
He pinned CM Punk twice.
And then they had that fake championship that they were going to do. Oh, that was the Butcher, by the way, anyway. But, you know, I think he might have been, you know, he was going to beat the Butcher for the Butcher X championship, you know? But like
the real world championship that the Butcher was trying to run.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think he would have won that. And then they would have played that against maybe Max for the actual world title, you know?
But it's not, yeah. Ricky Starks didn't always feel like he does today. In 2022, ESPN listed him as the breakthrough wrestler of the year. In 2022, he won the AEW World Championship.
Nah, dude, he revived Big Bill's career. Let's be real.
He won the Eliminator Tournament for the World Championship. He won the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. He's in 2023, he won the Men's Owen Hart Cup. He's, like you said, FTW Champion, AEW World Tag Team Champion. Yet, in 2024, he wrestled a match, disappeared. He had a title reign that it wasn't the greatest. Disappeared, and now it's nothing but drama, and it fucking sucks, because that is the one thing with picking someone as a favorite. I just don't want that. I don't want to be associated with it. I don't want anything to do with it, and I think he will leave, and I think he will have success, because he will always be one of our pillars.
I think he will have a really long Intercontinental title run in WWE.
100%, and he's going to be fucking incredible with it, but the highs were very, very high with Ricky Starks, but we haven't seen him in 9 months and he's not hurt. So it fucking sucks. Yeah. Any other thoughts on Starks?
Yeah. It's another one of those, I wish it had materialized when, again, he's going to go down in history as what was the cost of CM Punk and AEW for some people. But beyond that, Ricky Starks is, run toward the championship that he was on think the trajectory was there for Ricky. I think I could, especially when the Punk stuff, I could see it. It was forming. It was kind of the thing. It was the little hint.
It was there. It was
that
there.
Tony Khan gives you. He may not have won that match, but the fact that he would have had two shots at Max in like a year, they were going to run that back at maybe All In or something like that. And it was going to be for a championship and maybe it would have been against Punk. I don't know. But the point is like they were setting something up. Don't know what it was, but I would have loved to see where it played out. But CM Punk, I know I'm dropping the Butcher Joke just right now just because I feel it's necessary because I do care about Ricky Starks. I don't want it to feel like how it feels like with some of the people that have left where we kind of just let him go and we forget about him. I'm going to follow him if he goes to WWE because I, like with Cody, want to know what happens. I want good things for him. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I feel exactly what you're feeling. And it feels sad that this was a guy that we had so much passion for and so much respect for the company that it felt like he had.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's just one that we lost. And I feel that this happens with Tony Khan occasionally. And yeah. I don't want to put it all on him, but everyone else in the company, other than like, I'm sure there are some assholes in the locker room, like there isn't every, but you know, beyond that, it seems like everybody enjoys to work at AEW, even Ricky. I
do want to clarify. I don't feel this disappointed because he's going to WWE. Not at all. I'm just disappointed in the way 2024 has gone and how public it has gone. And yeah, we're totally in line. I mean, we love Ricky, and I'm excited to see when he gets a chance to do something else.
I hope who is it that we were felt like this way before and then they came back and everything was great and it's been great for them ever since in AEW. There's somebody like that a while ago. Maybe it's how everyone always treats Malakai. That's always what I love is that Malakai will be like, they'll be like, oh my God, Malakai is retiring or he's leaving. And he'll be like, guys, do I have to go on a run of 16 matches and get injured again for you guys to not think I'm retiring? What the fuck? You know, like, it's like, hey, all right, you're a good buddy. Go spend some time with your wife. You know what I mean? Yeah, sad story, really. I really hope it turns around because I hate to see the guy seem upset, you know?
But he's definitely reached the highest of the highs, it feels like. Daniel's won the best gold in terms of the TNT championship.
That's the best way to put it. I think the pillar that rose the highest out of the four, while we probably would want to say it's Danny never really got the opportunities. You know what I mean?
Ricky
got the opportunities, and then they just got taken away from him. Yeah. You know? It's unfortunate, you know? Yeah. I hope it wasn't anything that we never found out about that happened behind the scenes, too, you know?
Twice shortly after.
That's legacy shit. That is legacy shit.
And I feel like at the time, this is where sometimes I feel like we do have to credit our show. I feel like a lot of people weren't fucking hyping that up as big as it was, but it was fucking
a lot of people didn't like the fake world championship storyline. And that's why they wouldn't look past that to see what we were getting. You know?
It didn't matter if it was intact.
Maybe that's what killed that push more than anything. Cause I don't think CM Punk killed it himself. I think CM Punk was very in support of Ricky Starks. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of why.
If I remember correctly, one of the things was he was going to be totally down for Ricky to pin him.
Oh, 100%. I think that was the idea. The idea that he was going to beat him for the real world title. I think that was the plan. I don't think it was anything with Punk or even anything with Khan. I think it was the crowd's reaction to it was so negative and the people online were so negative about it that I think they just decided, like a lot of times they do, to just not. You know, sometimes AEW will just say, fuck you, I'm doing it anyway, right? And there are some times when it gets so loud, they don't really have a choice. You know what I mean? So, I think that was an instance like that. That's the case. That's really shitty. And I kind of understand the feeling of disrespect if you felt that way. You know, if it's like you let the crowd decide that this thing that you wanted to do wasn't right. I don't know, man. You could have probably won them over.
On to the next, we had Dante Martin, which I think was easily our easiest to pick. He was the first one we chose. We were such believers of Dante Martin because of the work he was putting in at AEW.
What happened, man?
How naturally he rose to the top. In 2022, he won the High Flyer Award from it was just the AEW awards that they were doing during that year. He won a Casino Trios Royale with Darius Martin and AR Fox. Pro Wrestling Illustrated listed him as number 127 of the top 500 singles wrestlers in PWI 500 in 2022. And then his brother came back. They didn't really get many pushes as a tag. They were working Supercard of Honor in April of 2023. He suffered a severe leg injury. And he was pretty much gone for the rest of 2023. And in 2024, it's just been a lot of kind of on and off stuff going for whether it's trios titles, going for just random tag titles, but they've had pretty fun storylines with...
Nah, it's worse than what you're making it out to be, bro. This is a guy that got a world title shot against fucking Hangman Page on AEW television.
Yes, he did.
And that happened.
And I think he wanted to do the tag team thing. That's the only thing I can look at. I think he wanted to be in a tag team with his brother more, because there is no fucking way they wouldn't have kept going with that route if this wasn't the case. And then he got hurt.
Still think we're going to get there one day, by the way. I do think he will be a world, maybe not a world champion, but certainly a world championship contender.
Incredible singles wrestler. But, yes. You know, who knows where it's going? Just recently, they put over Andretti and Rush to be the next tag contenders. I do think Top Flight will win gold. I you know what? I think it could be in 2025. I think we're entering that next era of, now that the Young Bucks have held the titles and we're on to Private Party, I think we're going to enter that next era of getting these teams that have deserved the titles, you know?
I'm trying to think of a good heel tag team that would take it off Private Party right now anyway. Yeah, I think you probably just have Top Flight do it. Maybe even have Top Flight. You could turn Top Flight heel. There's no reason you couldn't, you know what I mean?
They've been badass to have high flyers family before. And then maybe just have Top Flight take it off. Like, I could see this title being on like 7 or 8 different teams next year. I think we're going to see a lot of tag title fucking chicanery. But yeah, no, Dante was unbelievable in 2022 as a singles wrestler, and they just kind of stopped doing it. So that part does
suck. When there's 175 people to put in singles matches, I mean, Dante's a tag team wrestler at the end of the day. You know, no offense.
That's the route they wanted to go. And look, this is the most competitive tag team division on the planet, and it still is. You're still swinging with the fucking top dogs at the top. Even when you lose the Lucha Brothers, like, you still have elite upon elite tag teams.
So, I see what you did there.
Yeah. And our last one, which has been, he's currently at the top of the card, straight up, it's Wheeler Yuta, current Trios champion in AEW. He, in 2023, was ranked number 20 of the 30 best pro wrestlers under 30.
Is it fair to call him a main eventer at this point? He's in a main event angle. I mean, you know.
He's in main event angle, yes. He is a part of the Death Riders. He is a part of the former Black Bull Combat Club. 3-time Ring of Honor Pure Champion. Ranked number 43 of the top 500 singles wrestlers by PWI 500 in 2022. He had Rampage Match of the Year against Jon Moxley that year. Wheeler Yuta has been, if anything, the most consistent. Because once he joined the Combat Club, it's been nonstop. And they're still developing stories here on and here out. And
he's the one we were the most on the nose with. He was about to have the trajectory to be a star. And he was, and honestly, I kind of wish we had picked somebody else, because if we had realized how close he was to hitting that stride, like, because it's funny, at the time we made the list, he was still with Orange Cassidy, and he had just, I think, lost a title match where he'd been thrown in last minute as like a surprise, contender. And like, he almost won it. We were like really thinking he might actually win that there out of nowhere. We're like, what the hell? What's the way? So that's why one of the things that made him jump onto that list for us, I think. And then within weeks of that, the Blackpool Combat Club stuff started, and or maybe it was within months. I don't know. But the point is, but by the time that kicked off, it was like, oh wow, we really, this list could have used somebody else, because this guy was already about to be. Now, he wasn't there yet, but if we had known the trajectory he was going to go on, you know what I mean? Like, it would have probably served us better to pick somebody else, because he was right there about to enter that next phase of his career, you know?
Yeah. So,
or maybe that's why it was perfect. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess let's jump into our next segment here, where we had some criteria for selecting the new pillars. One of the big ones is they couldn't have been world champions. This is the obvious reason for why Swerve and Mariah May were not able to be selected. And then we kind of just had something natural, and I just dubbed it the Jay White clause. Even though Jay White and Will Ospreay haven't been world champions in AEW, they've still won the New Japan Pro Wrestling World Championship. To me, it's like if they were former WWE champions. I'm not going to list them as a pillar of the future in AEW. I feel like it's just it goes against our criteria. So when I say Jay White clause, I feel like everyone kind of knows what I mean. And then we put some stuff up to debate, and we went back and forth. And one of the ones was, are we allowing singles champions? We ended up landing on no, and that included the TBS. Can we have repeat former pillars? This was a big one. And we ended up landing on no. And
with an asterisk of, okay, if the pillar had been, there would have to be some very specific circumstances. You will have to have both not shown the potential to have hit what we believe. So I'll give you an example. Dante could have somehow met this criteria, but.
Because he has not touched any gold.
But the problem with that is if he hasn't hit the level we think he's going to hit in the last 4 years or last 3 years, whatever you would call it. Do we think he's going to in the next three or four? You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. It's hard to project that out. So by putting him on the list, it really feels like that opportunity could go to someone else. Not that the opportunity really means anything.
Yeah, so we just ended up landing on
Strict. It just makes more sense.
We ended up just landing on Strict. We can't pick the previous four. And we can't pick our next four. And so say we do this again in 2029, right? We can't pick the next four that we pick, right? It's just that simple.
It doesn't really go with the idea of the list. Like, hypothetically, the idea is that by the time we do the next list, these people should have already either A, advanced or shown that they're not going to advance by that time.
Yeah.
And so by that logic, so because if we did that, I mean, I feel like there's an argument for a lot of the pillars still being. Wheeler could still hasn't won the world title. I mean, yes, the world trios title, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he still hasn't won the world title, so, but you can't. Then the whole system breaks if you let that through.
And,
so,
and we had to include that asterisk because if we didn't, there was no reason we wouldn't do Swerve. Because, of course, Swerve's the future. Of course, Mariah May's the future. But they've been world champions. So how did we do this? We created a pool of wrestlers to vote on them. Each person's number one vote automatically gets in. So basically, if Duke put someone at number one and I put him at 11, it didn't fucking matter. That person is in. Because no matter what, that other person has to become a believer. It's that simple. Like, if you want to pound, like they always say in the drafting, in scouting, you know, you want to pound the table for a guy, right? It fits. So basically, now that there are pillars, this whole pool and ranking, all that goes out the window. These four, they're equal to us now. They're our guys. We're going to ride with them. We're going to believe with them. They're going to be the stars of the future. And I am so excited to finally get into this. And just because it's odds, Duke, you get the honor of going first and introducing our first brand, our first pillar. So who is the first new pillar of Eat Sleep Elite?
I think there's one guy that we talk about on our podcast just about every week. He is, I would say it's fair to say at this point, the centerpiece so far of the Continental Classic. He's a very, very talented young Australian wrestler by the name of Kyle Fletcher. And first, just a little background information. He was trained by, I believe, the Eagles family, Robbie Eagles and his family, as well as, I believe, Travis Banks. He's from Sydney, Australia, obviously. Yeah, of course, as we know, for those of you that know the story, again, sure some of this got mixed up in kayfabe, but as far as I'm aware, during COVID times in the UK, wrestling scene was pretty, I'm pretty sure dead because of COVID, basically. He was living with Will Ospreay, and Will Ospreay and him obviously became pretty close, and when they went back to Japan to do a tour, they formed Aussie Open with Mark Davis, obviously. I don't know if they'd been running as that group beforehand, but either way, they obviously got close in that time. And then by the time they came back to Japan, they were ready to be like this new thing. And Kyle hasn't really been as known yet, I don't believe, other than in the British wrestling scene. You know what I mean? I'm sure he was
like
known
just
in Australia.
Some matches like on Attack Pro Wrestling in fucking Australia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Mark Davis was a former world champion that just.
Yep.
He picked. For some reason, maybe it's his scouting. He saw it in Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, because Davis probably would have just been like, a part of that wave of like a European dude, European meat men. They could have been another member of Mustache Mountain or something, WWE or something. You know what I mean? I have no idea, or some shit like that. I don't know, whatever, right? But like, he would have had a trajectory probably, but who knows what would happen to Kyle. But obviously, being friends with Will Ospreay doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? And obviously, for those of you that know from there, he obviously had a really, really phenomenal run. And I believe, was it 2019 or 2021 or 2022 when it was that they really started to really take off as a tag team in New Japan. Mm-hmm. And obviously Will was the fucking guy in Japan for those couple of years, even if they hadn't really figured that out yet. All that out of the way, obviously, before Will finishes up his time in New Japan, obviously there's the scenario where Aussie Open are wrestling for months without contracts, and they're the tag team champions, and then they get another set of belts put upon them by Japan, and Davis is injured and not getting any help. Tony Khan offers to fix his leg for him, basically, you know what I mean? With no real reason to do that. He wasn't even signed to the company. They hadn't done any work together outside of a few shows on previous years in AEW where they'd shown up, you know, because they're a talented tag team and they like Will. And so anyway, so then they obviously sign with AEW, and the rest is history. Kyle Fletcher has become one of the best, most hottest young single stars in AEW. He's completely left the tag team of Aussie Open behind. No offense, Mark Davis. It's just the way things go. He is now poised to become, I think, the next young world champion in AEW, right behind MJF and Daniel Garcia. And I think, he's already been an AEW fucking champion already. So, you know, like, I mean, this guy's fucking nuts. You know what I mean? Like,
he's elevated his stock even more since when we've chosen these guys.
100%. And he was my number one on my list. This guy was getting it no matter what. I don't really know how much more I can put it about Kyle Fletcher. Yeah. There's so many things that he does well. He's one of the best young people I've ever seen that does selling I've ever seen. His selling is insane. His facial reactions, his promo work is way better than it ever has any fucking business being. He has incredibly intense stare downs with people. He's put on weight in a way that I didn't think a guy, and he's also deceptively tall for a guy. Like, he doesn't look that big because he's next to all these giants, and then he put on a little bit of meat and you're like, oh my god, this guy's also a freak, you know what I mean? So yeah, I can fucking talk for an hour mm-hmm. about how great this guy is. Charlie, give me some of your thoughts on Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
2024, we've really seen him emerge as a single star, and it's similar to Dante Martin, I think, to us. And I think the rest of the world is noticing too. And it didn't feel like that until like 2-3 months ago. It really didn't. It felt like people were kind of like, oh yeah, I mean, sure, he had a good match, but you know, he look who he wrestled. It's like, no. You don't understand. This guy just went out there and had the best Ishii match I've seen in 5 years. You don't understand. This guy just went out there and had a fucking a match with Commander I didn't know was fucking possible. Like, it was so good and on a random fucking collision.
I think there was a 3-week period where this guy had, like, the match of the year for us in, like, multiple weeks or multiple categories. Like, he had, like, one match a week for, like, 2 or 3 weeks and then included a pay-per-view match
he had this year. Yeah. With Will Ospreay facing the Young Bucks. I mean, are you fucking kidding me? His two matches with Will Ospreay are two of the best in his career, but it's not the best match in his career. Because if that match ever gets topped, he's fucking perfected something. And that is, of course, the match against FTR at the Royal Quest in New Japan Pro Wrestling, in one of the most outlandish fucking wrestling matches I've ever seen.
What a week that FTR had.
In terms of in-ring storytelling.
Whatever that was, yeah. Where FTR had the matches with the Briscoes, then they had that match at the end of the year or the beginning of the next year, whatever yeah. it was. Like, yeah, FTR were so incredibly... No offense to FTR now, but they were on such a different level in that couple of year period, bro. It was insane. When they first got back from, you know, not really being used in AEW that much, and they finally got the shot, bro, and became like the ultra champs, like that was... God, we ate as tag wrestling fans then, didn't we, huh?
Yeah. And Kyle Fletcher embodies everything we believe as the future of this company. And I look, it's the safest pick we could probably ever have, but it's the most obvious pick to us because of how much we believe in him. And it only feels safe because the rest of the world finally believes. And, you know, I can't wait to see where he goes in 4 years from now. He might be a fucking multi-time.
By the way, do you remember exactly how long? I don't remember exactly. How long ago did we put this together? Because for those of you who know, we actually put this together like a while ago.
It was like before. 6 weeks ago.
So 6 weeks ago, he was already on this trajectory. But the funny thing was, where he's at now compared to 6 weeks ago, it's so fucking much different. It's you know what I mean? Like, it's a massive difference.
I would say,
you know what
I think
mean?
It's
like,
safe to say around August, we knew we were going to do a new list. And we've been kind of ironing out the details for a while. We finally locked it in. Around the first like couple days we were using Blue Sky, like maybe something was in the air and it was just like, you know, let's really lock this in, because we knew we were going to do this in 2025. We wanted to do a new one.
No, it's safe to say that Blue Sky, the Blue Sky wrestling community, is one of the things that reignited our passion for wrestling again. Not that it was gone, but it wasn't. It was definitely diminished.
I haven't even had a chance to watch Final Battle tonight, but just watching people's love for it and their reactions for it, I'm like, man, they really...
We needed that kind of fandom back.
They're even doing this for Ring of Honor, and it's so good to see.
Ring of Honor will return eventually, just
Kyle
not
Fletcher
anytime
has had
soon.
Success in Ring of Honor, tag team champion and television champion in Ring of Honor. So, yeah, he fits all our new criteria. Absolutely incredible. He was ranked number 65 of the top 500 singles wrestlers in PWI 500 this year. It's time for our second pillar unveilment here, and this is someone who has really made 2024 her mark, and that is Queen Aminata. From the very first Rampage this year, she really, really stood out. She had gone over to Japan and worked on her craft a little bit. We've seen her since we've been covering the show in Dark, and we've mentioned her here and there. Something changed in 2024. She came back. She had that match against Hikaru Shida this year. And also, even the last week of 2023, when she had a match with Sky Blue, it was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. She looked good. I think Queen Aminata is an elite striker. She has displayed some technical wizardry that I didn't know she had in her. And the minute she did that, it made me a full-fledged believer. And I think Queen Aminata, you want to see the difference in AEW as a company? The women's division 4 years ago versus the women's division right now, night and day. I keep saying four. It's really 3 years, but walk with me. Whatever. It is night and day difference. She is from Guinea, West Africa. She trained at the Ohio Pro Wrestling Academy. She made her debut in 2017. Truly, the sky is the limit for her. And I am so excited that now we get to follow her career even more intently as she becomes one of our four pillars. And I think she's earned it so much this year. Even her stuff on Ring of Honor. At Death Before Dishonor, when she wrestled Athena for the ROH World Championship. Like, she was so good. And I am just so happy that she fits right up there. She feels like she belongs as one of our pillars.
Bro, she was so good. We were like, bro, nah, just have it be these two forever. This can be the Ring of Honor feud. We don't need anybody else. Just those two. Have them be the wrestlers. And then we're like, no, wait, actually let Billy Starks be in there also. But everybody else, just let them do whatever they want. Let these two have a fight forever.
She can speak four fucking languages. And she, in PWI, she was ranked number 55, the top 250 female wrestlers in the PWI Women's 250 in 2024. I am so excited that Queen Aminata is one of our
I'm going to say something
pillars.
Really bold about Queen Aminata, and that you're going to 1,000,000% agree with. I think that in any era of women's pro wrestling, be it the Diva era, be it this era, be it the era of WWE in like the mid 2010s, where they had like sort of like the sort of mecca of women's wrestling for a little bit with like Charlotte and Becky and the four horsewomen kind of like running rampant there for a while in WWE having the best matches, you know what I mean? Like that era notwithstanding, I think she, you know, could it fit in any of these eras as a mm-hmm. wrestler, and her style would stand out and work. And you could even put her in, and she's even, I think now, I don't think she would want to do that, but I think if she showed up in the Divas era again, can you know how, Beth Phoenix kind of was I'm not saying anything about Beth Phoenix here, but she's very attractive, but I don't think that was the reason why she got signed during the era of wrestling that she got signed. I think she got signed because they wanted to start to go back in that other direction a little bit with her. You know what I mean? That's because the glamazon, right? She was just beating people up. You know what I mean? There wasn't a lot of, oh my God, I'm so pretty. There was aspect of it. You know what I mean? But I think in a similar way, actually, that's a fucking probably one of the best compliments I can give a young women's wrestler out there, right? Is that to compare you to somebody like Beth Phoenix like that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. because look at that trajectory. I mean, she's looked at as one of the greatest women's wrestlers of the WWE, you know what I mean, of recent eras, because she stood out at a time. So I think she could fit in any era of women's wrestling. And I don't think she would feel out of place. And I think that there's not a lot of wrestlers that you could say that about, period. You know what I mean?
She wrestles with so much confidence.
Yes. I think that's the thing that she exudes the most. She believes in what she's doing out there. Yep. So I believe in what she's doing out there. It's just like acting and any other thing that we watch all the time. If the person fully commits and invests in what they're doing, I will as well. That's how it works.
Yeah. Sells well. She can carry matches. She will be a champion. And
great promo too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaks four languages. I mean, that's fucking incredible. So
I'd like to see her cut a language or four language promo. I don't know how easy that would be, but I'm down.
I'm so in. That being said, who is our third pillar of Eat Sleep Elite?
Yeah. So we didn't really mention this at the top, because I guess it doesn't really need to be, but we didn't have any women on the first list. That wasn't intentional. That was more reflective on how the state of the AEW's women's division was at the time.
And it was also right before, like, even Jamie Hayter, who probably
would have if she had that year, if we'd done it a year later, she would have been above Danny on our list. They both would have been on there, but she would have probably, no offense to Ricky, probably would have taken Ricky's spot, you know what I mean? Like, and that would have been really funny to see us having passed on Ricky, see what would have ended up happening there. That would have been an interesting trajectory. God, I want to look into that alternate timeline a little bit, but just wonder what our podcast might have been canceled by then. Who knows? But but anyway, yeah, I know. So we didn't include women last time, obviously, and obviously we just had our first woman on the list, and we're gonna go straight back to back here because it's fascinating to me. If you had told me when we were doing these lists that this person was going to end up on there, I don't know if I would have even thought they were going to be in the pool. Because at the time that we first did this, Anna Jay was very, very – the word I would describe would be potential, right? That we saw so much potential for so long. So from Brunswick, Georgia, that's where she's billed from anyway. I don't know where she's actually from. Is she actually from there? Let's find out. Yeah. Oh, wow. She actually was built from her hometown. That's kind of a rarity in pro wrestling these days, or at least in the old days. But anyway, but yeah, debuted in 2019. So we talked about 2017 for Aminata being pretty recent. This is after that. So it actually kind of feels kind of nice having these two right next to each other because they kind of do feel like they have a similar trajectory, that they weren't pro wrestlers for most of their lives, at least not on the known stage. They would be considered debuted, if you will. You know what I mean? But she was trained by QT Marshall and Glacier. So I did a sort of backstory for Kyle. So for Anna, it's different. She debuted, right? And she was kind of this, I think, semi-known indie talent, I want to say. She was known-ish, but like not really, you know what I mean? And then what really got her known was when she was named the honorary number 99 or whatever the original phrasing was by Brody Lee. This is somebody that Brody Lee saw a lot of potential in. And obviously we know what Brody Lee's memory means to AEW, what he meant to AEW when he was alive, you know what I mean? And the legacy that his family still leads, you know, every year when they bring back, negative one for at least one segment a year, you know what I mean? Which I really hope, you know, it'd be nice. I don't know. It's probably too late to plan this, but if we could somehow sneak him into the Christmas episode, that'd be great. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know how you do it, but you know, I don't know. There's no reason for him to be on there right now. And maybe he throws a pie at John Moxley. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know. That would be actually really stupid. But, you know, but anyway, I don't know. Something fun. But Anna Jay, this is going to be another bold. I'm going to say another bold thing, Charlie. Anna Jay may be the most improved wrestler in AEW since we started watching this.
I mean, it's night and day different.
And that's not to say that she was bad. She was never bad, actually. I think what amazed me always about her was that I always heard people say, like, oh, she's not ready. Don't put her in the championship scene yet. She's not ready. You know what I mean? I just don't see it yet. I saw it from then. And I think that's why she feels so right to be on this list now. Because I think now everyone else is starting to see it. And we said for years while watching this show, I guess 2 years, whatever you want to call it, that, man, I just wish she would go to Japan and get a little bit of experience wrestling in a place where you know, it's a completely different style. It's so different. And you always, everybody that's ever gone to Japan or Mexico has come back with a different perspective on wrestling. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's like a rite of passage for fucking great pro wrestlers that are going to be on the next level of match quality. You know what I mean?
It also lets you know how much they want it, how much they want to be. Yeah.
So when I heard that her and Jack had gone to Japan, I was like, yep, these two have just earned my respect in a way that I don't know that they needed to earn my respect in that way, but it feels right that they both did that because they feel like it is a badge of honor that some wrestlers hold. You know what I mean? The Japanese wrestling scene is no joke. You will sink or swim there so much faster than you will in the States. You know what I mean? So anyway, so I think potential is the word that I would have used then. I think now she's starting to live up to that potential, especially. I mean, you want to know how you know AEW's women's division is doing great. Obviously, the two pillars that are on our list are obviously a pretty good indication of what the future looks like. This year has been defined in the women's division of, okay, we have these stars at the top, like your Britt Bakers, you have Thunder Rosa, you have now Mariah May, Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter. And they all formed up in the last 2 or 3 years. This year, we had the rebirth, really, of Chris Statlander, the explosion onto the scene of Mercedes Moné. We have, obviously, Mariah May now. We have multiple versions of Toni Storm out there. You got something completely out there like Harley Cameron. And then you have Anna Jay, who was, I would put right up there in with all those people who have redefine what this division actually is and what it means to be a wrestler at AEW for the women anyway. And maybe for the men too. Anyway, and I think Anna Jay, her staying power within the title scene. I mean, she's been, ever since she's been back, bouncing around from one title to the next, like she's fucking Hulk Hogan or something. Like, or like Kenny Omega or something. I don't know. Like, this is like main eventer shit. Nobody else is doing this. I can't remember the last person that lost the title match and was like, yeah, but I'm going to go after the other title now because I'm just that badass. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, shit. And I bought into it. So, yeah, Anna Jay, shit, she could be TBS champion at World's End. You know what I mean? We don't know.
Yeah. And you know, rare thing where the improvement that she has really brought and she is like just completely done with herself. It's so obvious, and it's actually kind of insane. I thought she just had the best singles match I'd ever seen of her against Mariah May, and then a month later, she topped it against Mercedes Moné this week. Like, if she's improving this rapidly and she's getting it this rapidly, I am so in. I believe in her promos. I believe. You know, when we went back to Daly's place at the beginning of the year, and they kind of they turned her baby face again. It really hit a line where it was like, you know.
I mean, that was kind of tough because it's very difficult when you go to Daly's. Mm-hmm. She wrestled so many matches in Daly's place on Dark. You know what I mean? Like, and it's so it feels like a second hometown for her almost. You know what I mean? So it's so tough.
Now,
you know what I mean?
Like, now we're getting that collision almost a year later because it's going to be January 25th, I believe, is the collision at Daly's place. I think she's going to win a championship.
God, I hope so. That would be incredible for her.
I think she's going to win a championship there.
And let it be the world title, dude. Fucking cement this girl's legacy.
Look, I'm cool. If that's the route they go, I'm cool with it. I think she's going to win a championship. I don't know who. And I don't know, you know, where it can happen. But she proved herself when she went to Stardom and was able to hang. And she's proved herself year in and year out. And she truly feels like a pillar of the future. And it's the future of the women's division. And when we talk about our 12 that we chose from, you're going to see it. Anna Jay really did stick out. And I'm with you. I did not expect Anna Jay to be one of our pillars, but we both ranked her that high. We ranked her that high. So, and she technically got in on a coin flip, which we will talk about in a minute. Cause she had a tie with someone. That being said, let me get our last pillar. And just like Anna Jay, when I threw the list together, I saw some names and it was kind of like, you know, we'll see. I was trying to, I knew Kyle Fletcher was going to be one. And obviously I knew Queen Aminata was going to be one because Queen Aminata was my number one. But, you know, when you're trying to think about the other ones, I was like, huh, who the fuck are they going to be?
It's interesting. The first three, like, you know, it's pretty easy to kind of guess who those could be because we knew going in who it was we'd all really – or all – the two of us had been locked in on in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But, like, the thing is, like, at the same time, when we instituted the system that you're going to see that we did in a second, there was a lot more left at the chance than we, I think, realized at the time. So, you know, which we may redefine a little bit when we do it again in the future. We'll have to look into that, but I really kind of like the way that it worked.
It made it fucking fascinating.
100%. It took a lot of the decision out of our hands, which was interesting. It was different, you know?
And let's get to this because I think this is going to be another influence on what AEW's done the past 4 years. Similar to how we had two women now in Queen Aminata and Anna Jay and our four pillars. We're bringing in some Lucha Libre. And it's Bandido. Bandido is our fourth and final pillar. You know, the time...
Yeah, we mentioned how Kyle has been on a fucking stellar trajectory ever since we did this list. So again, it came together really nicely. We could never have predicted the Bandido segment was going to air 2 weeks before we did this. You know what I mean?
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, no fucking way.
And Bandido had been injured for about 6 months now. And it was just one of those things where we're going through guys and I was like, huh. And little did we know, we both believed in him this month. Bandido truly has all the potential in the world. These vignettes they've been doing for his return, which again, we locked this list in before these happened. So this just, we've been kind of giddy the past couple weeks and we've even been laying it in a little bit on our show of like how excited we are about these vignettes. Cause we've known, you know, that the master of the 21 plex is one of our fucking pillars. And Bandido has had a long career already. He started out in Mexico in 2011, right? Trained by Ultimo Guerrero. He held El Gladiator and Franco Colombo. Like, he has been wrestling for a long, long time. Bandido made his debut long after we made our pillars, where he had a match against Chris Jericho. And he showed back up about 2 months later and signed with AEW after a match with Rude.
Oh, yeah. If we did it then, again, Bandido would have made the other list. Like, if we did that list later, Bandido's on it. I'm sorry. I don't
care.
Safe
to say, the coolest fucking mask in wrestling. I just love how he does his, man. But he's wrestled everywhere. He's wrestled in AAA. He's wrestled in CMLL. He's wrestled in The Crash. He's a former PWG World Champion, similar to our boy Danny Garcia. And in the same list of this ESPN, he was ranked number 18 of the 30 best pro wrestlers under 30 in 2023. So I'm very, very happy.
We should do a one-hour soliloquy about that match between those two.
We should. I'm very happy Bandido's on our list, and he's one of our guys. So there it is, our four pillars of the future in AEW. Kyle Fletcher, Queen Aminata, Bandido, and Anna Jay. I am so happy with how this came out. I think this is, not only is it night and day from our first one, these are four people now that we are going to root and we're going to back like you've never seen before. Let's hit the pool of 12 real quick, right? I think that's going to be fun because then we can talk about who had the coin flip. So, pool of 12 in alphabetical order. These were the wrestlers that we ranked. It was Action Andretti, Anna Jay, Bandido, Harley Cameron, Hologram, Hook, Kyle Fletcher, Lee Moriarty, Nick Wayne, Robin Renegade, Sky Blue, and Queen Aminata. So, yeah, there were subs, because originally Julia Hart and Willow Nightingale were in the list. We replaced them with Action Andretti and Robin Renegade because we decided against TBS champions. That was the, like, realistic subs, because I think Willow would have made our list. I think she would have taken Anna Jay's spot, if I'm guessing, because Anna Jay had the coin flip. But we ended up deciding against Willow and the coin flip. Let's get to it. So based on our grading, both Anna Jay and Hologram had 18 points. So it was a tie for fourth place. And We flipped it. We literally were like, fuck it, flip a coin. Flipped it, landed on Anna Jay, and she was the pillar. And at 17 points was Lee Moriarty. So Lee Moriarty just missing the cut. But I think if we had an honorary fifth this time, it was Hologram. And I just, I guess anything you really wanted to touch on with that. And like, very well, Hologram could have been our fourth and we would have had two luchadors and it'd be fucking just as cool. But I think that just shows kind of where our mindset was. And it was a really different 12. Like, I had no idea where like Robin Renegade was going to end up. I had no idea where Nick Wayne was going to end up because we both very much believe in Nick Wayne. And I think in 4 years, we could be having Nick Wayne as one of our pillars, potentially. So
his is such a slow burn. I got to be honest. I know this isn't about that. I have never understood why his burn is so slow. Maybe that's a him thing. I don't know. But I always thought, man, you got opportunity here, man. I think
2 years ago, Hook's one of our pillars, and he ended up not even making the top six.
That's fair. Yeah, he was on a much bigger, or much better trajectory then. I don't know what happened.
So that just kind of shows you where we're at. And yeah, guys, I am, I'm really happy with how this came out. I'm glad we got a chance to really dive into our pillars. And you know, maybe this is one of those things where each year we kind of do a review on it and we see what we do with that, because we had talked about that before, just to see a. Maybe at our awards next year, a year in review of the
pillars. And as everybody knows, the 420th pillar will always be Wardlow, you know?
Oh, of course. You cannot deny the War Dog. That being said, guys, I hope you enjoyed this show for this week. It's kind of, an ESC special. It's the holidays, man. You know, God knows what you're doing. You might be getting overloaded.
And everyone knows the original pillar was the Butcher, you know?
The Butcher! The Butcher! I'm losing my fucking mind. long live the fighters. I don't know. Maybe next time you hear from us is post World's End. I think I don't even know when the
I have no idea. We've no
when
idea.
You guys are here. Who knows? That's the case. No matter what, we'll get
a time is a flat circle.
We'll get a predictions video out for that. But if you guys stuck through this the whole time, thank you very, very much. And I seriously hope you enjoyed this. And if this is your first time clicking on this channel, I don't think it's going to be anyone's, but if it is, dude, please click the follow button. Stick around for our weekly show that we do where we get to talk about our glazing of pro wrestling. One show left before we switch brands. The brand switch of ESC is initiated, where Duke becomes the herald of Dynamite and I become the colonizer of Collision.
Oh, no colonization. We're not pulling it. We're not doing it. No.
I'm going to colonize Collision, you son of a bitch.
No, then I'm becoming the despot of Dynamite. Yeah. I will rule with an iron fist and become the one true emperor.
You're either a smart fella or a fart smella. We'll catch
I
you
know
guys.
What Charlie is.
We'll catch you guys next time. Thank you very much. And goodbye. And good.